Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn number 27. Come, Holy Spirit, come, let thy bright beams arise, dispel the darkness from our minds, and open all our eyes. Hymn number 27.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God two portions. The first you'll find in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. The book of Genesis, chapter 2, and reading from verse 18 to the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 2, reading from verse 18 to the end of the chapter. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And now from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5. The Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, reading chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather given of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, but because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves to one to another in the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. May the Lord bless his word unto us and help us to approach unto him in prayer. O thou who art the light, the eternal light. O Lord, as we come before you this evening, oh, that light must reprove our evil deeds. Thou art holy, Lord, we are unholy. And when we rightly are given a sight of that light which cometh from thee, we can only say with Isaiah, when he saw thee high and lifted up, woe is me, for I am undone, a man of unclean lips, I dwell among a people of unclean lips. But oh, thou didst, Lord, send forth that cherubim, a live coal from off the heavenly altar. Lord, we plead this evening, that we might prove, oh, we have a better messenger of peace, a one who did not take upon him the form of an angel, but took upon him the nature of his brethren, was made in all points like as we are, yet without sin, and has come into this world to be our propitiation, to take away the wall of separation. And has come to preach peace, peace to them which are afar off, to them which are near, to proclaim by his precious blood, pardon sealed, sins forgiven, and heaven procured. Oh, we plead, Lord, this evening, that we might find that coal from off the heavenly altar, the love of Christ shed abroad within our souls. Oh, that it might enliven and enlighten our souls and kindle that flame of holy love within us. Oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, be granting us this evening the precious operation of the Spirit, who takes the things of Jesus and reveals them unto us, and sheds abroad within our souls the Saviour's love. And may we find once more the love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, that we might know that enlargement of heart that will make us run in the way of thy commandments. Oh, we have to cry, Lord, draw us, we will run after thee. We plead, Lord, that thou wouldst not be far from us, but, oh, the Son of Righteousness may arise with healing in his wings, that he might be to our soul this evening the bright and the morning star. For, Lord, dark and cheerless is the morn unaccompanied by thee. Oh, that thou wouldst arise, Lord, that thou wouldst appear in our souls this evening, that thou wouldst refresh us from out of the sanctuary. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst have mercy upon us, for we are about holy things. Lord, that thou wouldst enable us to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Help us, Lord, all we found within thy house, or withdraw us from distracting thoughts, the things that have busied us during the day, the perplexities that may face us tomorrow. Oh, that thou wouldst remind us, Lord, there is but one thing needful, and help us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and prove that everything else shall be added unto us. Oh, we'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst visit us once more with thy salvation. Wash us truly from all our iniquities, blot out all our transgressions. Whisper again that sweet sentence, Son, daughter, thy sins are all forgiven. Oh, may we behold once more that precious robe of righteousness with which we are justified. Bring us, Lord, back to the fountainhead of all blessings, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, may we see in him that wisdom, sanctification. Oh, that we might behold in him, Lord, all the blessings of redemption. They might fill our souls. Oh, that we might know, Lord, once more this evening, the spirit of adoption, whereby we will cry, Abba, Father. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst be empty in us. Oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, be drawing us away from self. Thou wouldst be creating that room once more in our soul. Oh, for Jesus Christ and him crucified. That, Lord, as we've entered into thy house, we might have that hunger and thirst after righteousness, that desire after Christ, and which cannot be satisfied with anything less than Jesus Christ. But, oh, whom thou emptiest, Lord, thou dost fill. We plead this evening, Lord, it might be a filling time. The souls of thy people in thy house with that treasure, oh, the excellency of which belongeth unto God and not unto men. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst give help in the preaching of the word. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Help us to set the truth forth plainly. Deliver us, Lord, from speaking error, and oh, deliver us, Lord, from cutting off any of thy little ones, or setting any down short of Christ. But, oh, thou wouldst, O Lord, bless the ministry of the word once more this evening. Own the means which thou hast appointed, the foolishness of preaching. And, Lord, oh, who is sufficient for these things, but give grace. And may we prove, Lord, once more, power belongeth unto thee. It's not a man, Lord, but it's all of thee. So, Lord, we would desire thou wouldst bless the word with the power of thy spirit, and send none empty away. Oh, open the ears, open the hearts to receive the word. May we see no man save Jesus only. Oh, may Jesus Christ be first, last, and all in all. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst bless each one that's gathered. Thou knowest how they've come. All their concerns, Lord, their burdens, their troubles and their joys. Oh, we do plead, Lord, that while we're in thy house, we might see light in thy light. That if we've been straying, foolish and ignorant as a beast before thee, oh, that, Lord, before we leave thy house this evening, our cry might be, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Where, Lord, we need comforting and building up in our most holy faith, where we need feeding with thee sincere milk of the word, and where, Lord, weaned, we need that strong meat to keep alive our souls. Oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, satisfy each one. Meet the case of each one. Lord, where we need instructing, oh, thou wouldst teach us. Where, Lord, we need direction, oh, thou wouldst send forth thy light and thy truth, that they might lead us. They might bring us to thy holy hill. We'd ask, Lord, above all else, oh, that thou wouldst be drawing us unto thee. That as we leave, Lord, thy house at the end of the services day, oh, that we might know that closer walk with thee, that calm, that heavenly frame, that light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. Leave us not, Lord, to go away as we entered into thy house. But, oh, may we go away, Lord, with the blessing which maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Remember, Lord, any that walk in darkness and have no light. Help them to stay themselves upon their God. Oh, bring them, Lord, even this evening to cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Any, Lord, that feel to be without the promise, any that fear the day of grace is over and they are not saved. Oh, we plead, Lord, that thou wouldst send forth thy truth this evening against all the wiles of the devil. Oh, that thou wouldst deliver us, Lord, from the power of unbelief. Oh, that we might know, Lord, thy drawing influence. That we might hear the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst bless this church. The deacons, Lord, uphold them in their labours. All the burdens and the cares that fall upon them, each church member, Lord. Oh, may there be a building fitly built together. Keep them, Lord, in your love and union. Keep them, Lord, humble, esteeming each other better than themselves. Oh, they might have singleness of heart and mind, looking unto Jesus. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst be building them up in their most holy faith. Oh, we long, Lord, to see an increase, but Lord, we wonder sometimes whether we desire that increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that increase in grace as we ought. Oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, be blessing the church here, raising up pillars, mothers in Israel, praying brethren, those who shall be for the establishment of the cause of Christ. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst bless the congregation, or that out of them thou would yet be gathering in thy election of grace. Bring, Lord, thy word to the light. Oh, that secret disciples may not be ashamed of thee any more, but oh, that they would be drawn, oh, by thy love to confess, thou, O Christ, art all I want. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst be building up the church in the day in which we live, and gathering in thy people out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue, hastening, Lord, to the end of the day of grace, the day when thou wilt appear, thy church completed, and the top stone brought forth with cries of grace, grace unto it. Oh, may we be amongst those, Lord, that watch and wait, having a glorious expectation against the great and terrible day of the Lord. Prepare us, Lord, for our end, if it should come first. Oh, prepare us, Lord, to stand before thy face. Remind us in the midst of life, we are in death. There is but a step between us and death. Oh, that we might live, Lord, in the face of eternity, not settling down on time things, not living for the present state, but, oh, that we might ever be found pressing toward the mark of our high calling, pressing toward the place where Jesus is, even heaven, the inheritance laid up for thy people. We'd ask, Lord, thou wouldst bless thy one true church across the earth this evening. Wherever thy servants labour in word and doctrine, that thou wouldst, O Lord, be blessing thy word, that it would not return unto thee void. Remember those that translate and publish thy word in all nations. We'd ask that thou would send forth, Lord, more labourers into the vineyard. Oh, wherever, Lord, thou mayest be, equipping men to preach the gospel, we do desire, Lord, that thou wouldst be teaching them well. Their whole dependence must be found in thee. Ah, Lord, leave us not to think we have anything of our own to venture with. Leave us not our worthless schemes with thine to mix, but venture to be naught. Lord, we desire to see those servants sent forth by thee. Oh, we'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst be raising up pastors according to thine own heart, and especially here, Lord. Oh, thou wouldst bless them according to the scriptural pattern with that blessing. Blessings in the church, and under shepherd according to thine own heart. Bless, Lord, the ministry among them. We ask that there might be signs following the preaching of the word. Hear, Lord, the prayers offered here yesterday. Oh, we plead the petitions, they might be heard in heaven, thy dwelling place. Lord, thou wouldst forgive. Keep us watching for thine answers. And, oh, Lord, when we receive, and, Lord, in an expectation of receiving, the prayer of faith, help us to come and give thee thanks. Oh, for all thy manifold mercies unto us. Thy goodness, Lord, day by day. Oh, for all the favours we enjoy. And Lord, yet solemnly, we prove as thy children of old. They tend to cause us to wax fat and to kick against thee. But oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, be reminding us. The source of every grace and every favour, Jesus' precious blood. May we take, Lord, nothing for granted, but may we daily seek to acknowledge thee in all thy goodness, thy grace, thy faithfulness. Oh, that thou art the rock which does never change, the salvation and the hope of thy people. Oh, this evening, Lord, that all the honour and the glory might redound unto thy great and holy name. The gift of gifts, Jesus Christ and him crucified, and in him all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, for the poor and the needy, the not by the way. Ah, Lord, for the unspeakability of that gift that is given to sinners, to the vilest of the vile. Oh, the fullness of heaven, the glories only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, freely given. Ah, Lord, we never deserve such a gift. We're never able, Lord, here to render unto thee the thanks due for such a gift. But, oh, Lord, this evening that we might have that prospect, that when we see thee as thou art, we'll praise thee as we ought, then loudest of the crowd I'll sing, while heaven's resounding mansions ring with shouts of sovereign grace. Be with us, Lord, now as we seek to sing thy praise, tune heart as well as voice. Draw near unto us, Lord, as we turn unto thy word. Remember any that would be here but can't be here, and bless them where they are, particularly the children and the parents, and the sick and the afflicted. Oh, everyone, Lord, whose eyes are unto Zion. Oh, that thou wouldst draw near unto them where they are. Be a little sanctuary unto them in the places whereunto thou hast driven them. Oh, thou wouldst visit thy people with thy salvation. Bless us together now. Make the place of thy feet glorious. Receive us graciously. Love us freely. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 668. Jehovah God, eternal Lord most high, permit a worm to bow before thy throne, a worm deserving endless misery, but please the blood that did for sin atone. Hymn 668.
So Lord, would help me this evening and grant you prayer for attention. I'd direct you to a text you'll find in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5. I'm reading again in verse 28. Ephesians chapter 5, reading again in verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. It is particularly this evening to the words of verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, and I wish to draw your attention. Paul in this chapter tells us he speaks of a great mystery. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. I want to be very clear, friends, that marriage is not the pattern upon which the relationship between Christ and his church is built. Oh, the relationship between Christ and his church stretches back into eternity before ever God created that help meet for man, Eve, and brought her, the woman, unto the man, and she became his wife. Oh, friends, marriage is a wonderful picture of the relationship between Christ and his church, but it's not the pattern. It's not the pattern. I say that because, friends, too often we get things the wrong way round. I remember somebody saying to me, I cannot find any preciousness in the doctrine of adoption. You don't understand, I had a father that abused me. I said, you've got it wrong. I said, the doctrine of adoption is not based upon earthly fathers. Our friends, earthly fathers are but a poor picture of our gracious Father which is in heaven. We see around us in the day in which we live various states of marriages, various pictures of marriages, either flourishing or failing, either glorious or very inglorious. Oh, friends, the doctrine of Christ and his church is not affected by any one of them. And this evening we want to come back to the centre and the substance that is in this chapter, the relationship between Christ and his people, and that is the subject in our text. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. This is what it is to be a Christian. Oh, William Gadsby says, pause my soul, ask the question. Ah, have I union? Am I made a real Christian? Have I union with the church's living head? Oh, friends, if we are a Christian, we have union with Jesus Christ. If we are not a Christian, then we have no union. We have no communion with him. And if we have union with him, if we are made a real Christian, then this is true concerning us. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And this union is greater than any union we ever know on this earth. Friends, this union is far greater than the union that is even between husband and wife, the greatest union, natural union that is known. This union transcends that. Greater in every dimension. It is glorious. And it should be the subject of our consideration, the subject of our searching. And our great concern should be, have I union with the church's living head? For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Well, as the Lord had helped me this evening, I want firstly to say something concerning this union, the nature of the union that is set before us here. Secondly, to say something about how this union is brought about. How are we united to Christ? And thirdly, to try and say something concerning the privileges and the duties that hang on that union. The top of my chapter, in the Bible it says duties of wives, husbands, children and servants, etc. And oh, friends, if we are members of Christ's body, then the duties that are incumbent upon us are no less than the duties that are laid upon husband and wife as they enter into that marriage union. And may we not pass by those things or forget them. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Firstly, to say something regarding the nature of this union. Ah, friends, we are members of his body by two ways. We are members of his body as we are partakers of his flesh, and members of his body as we are partakers of his bones. You'll often find this text is quoted by ministers to support the doctrine of the incarnation. But I was brought to wonder about that, because it speaks here of us being flesh of his flesh and of his bones, not the other way round. Oh, friends, I do not think, as I look more at this verse, it has got anything to do with the incarnation whatsoever. This speaks of the union between us and Christ, not the union that Christ took with our nature when he came into this world. Don't get me wrong, the two things hang together, and without the one we cannot have the other. But this is the union that the believer has with Christ. And it is patterned on the union that Eve had with Adam. And we find that Eve had two forms of union with Adam. The first was this: God took a rib out of man, and out of that rib he created the woman. That woman was literally bone of his bone. Friends, what does that mean? She took life from Adam. All of her substance came from Adam. There was not one bit of the woman that she could not look at and say this was not a first part of man. Oh, she was created out of his rib, bone of his bone. And that's what Adam said: this is now bone of my bones. But there was a second union, and that was brought about by God bringing the woman unto the man. And she became his wife. She became flesh of his flesh. And they twain became one flesh. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Simply taking the rib did not make Eve into Adam's husband, Adam's wife. But it was as Adam received Eve to be his wife, as they became husband and wife in that marriage relationship, they became flesh of their flesh. There was another union here. It was not a union of life, it was not a union of bone, but it is described as a union of flesh. Ah, friends, it is a union of love, it is a union of contract, a union of covenant. That's what marriage is. Oh, it's a union of covenant between two people as they make their vows to one another before the Lord. And oh, friends, it is a union that rests upon love, a union that has its foundations in love, and a union that is crowned by love. And we find these two things set before us here in the beginning of the creation. Oh, the woman was made from the man. She received everything she had from the man. But then they were united together in that marriage relationship. She was not only bone of his bone, but she was now also flesh of his flesh. And we find here Paul says the same thing regarding Christ. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. The two things must be separated. We want to speak of each of them in turn. Firstly, we are bone of his bone. Oh, friends, what does that set up before us concerning the union between Christ and his church? Is this: the Lord's people, our friends, they receive everything from Christ. Their life is the life of Christ. Oh, you know, friends, that is what the word of God teaches us. Paul says, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, it's not him that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Oh, when we are brought from death unto life, friends, we do not receive our life resuscitated. We receive new life. And what life do we receive? The life that is given to us from a living head. Friends, the life that we receive from Jesus. The life that he received from the dead. Oh, if only we had a clearer view of this, as it is set before us in Scripture, if only we were brought into more experimental knowledge of it. Friends, to realise the life that we now live, if we are a child of God and have been born again, it is the life of the Son of God. Friends, it is eternal life, life that cannot die. And that's why it's true that it is no longer death for the Lord's people to die. Because the life that is in us, friends, it cannot die. Though dying, we live. This is the teaching of Jesus. Friends, it's not simply sophistry, it's not simply words, but it is real truth. What he said unto Martha, what we hear repeated in the burial sentences at the funeral, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Friends, there's a change made at regeneration, though he were dead. Oh, you see, friends, the worldling has no idea they're actually dead, but they are dead in trespasses and sins. Paul speaks of this in Ephesians 2, sometime dead. Ah, friends, as dead as the pew you sit on. Absolutely dead, lifeless. That's how we are by nature. Ah, but now we're made life. How we made life? By faith in Jesus Christ. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But he doesn't stop there, does it? And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Oh, you say to me, but I've got to die. Ah, friends, if you're one of the Lord's people, yes, your flesh will have to be laid in the grave. Ah, waiting the redemption of the body, but your soul enters immediately in death into glory. Ah, friends, the life that is in you can never die. Our life is hid with Christ in God beyond the reach of harms. This may sound radical teaching this evening, but oh, friends, I believe it's the teaching of the apostle. I believe it's the teaching of Jesus Christ. It's the truth. Oh, do we know it and do we hold it? Oh, do we know something of the power of it within our soul? Oh, the life that we now live. It's not us that liveth. Oh, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Oh, you see, friends, we are united to him as we are made partakers of his life. The apostle Peter speaks this, doesn't he, when he says we are partakers of the divine nature. Oh, friends, we are united to him living. Our very life is his life, and therefore we are united to him as a living whole. He is our living head, and we are his body. Members of his body, we receive our life from him. Our friends, we only live as we are united to him. This is a union which is a living union. Our friends, this is a union which is founded upon the very principle of life. And if you're one of the Lord's people this evening, you will have to confess that you have nothing which you have not received from him. Nothing that you have not received from him. But oh, what have you received from him? Life. Life which shall never die. Oh, this is the first aspect of this union. Ah, friends, it's a union of life. A union of life. Bone of my bone. But then we read, flesh of my flesh. Oh, friends, this is not only a union of life, but this is a union of covenant love. A union of covenant love. John Kemp brings these two aspects out. By covenant transaction and blood, says Jesus, my people are mine. Ah, friends, the blood, the life. The life is in the blood. Ah, friends, that blood that was spilled. Bone of his bone. Covenant transaction. Oh, friends, this flesh. We become flesh of his flesh. Married to Christ. United to him. Made one with him. Ah, by that union. Ah, friends, a marriage union. And you know, in marriage, two parties reasonably enter into that. There is a consenting within each member to enter into that. And oh, may we never be left to think of the doctrines of grace that it makes us not reasonable in our salvation. That our salvation is forced on us in any way. That we are non-consenting. Oh, friends, what a mercy the choice is not left to us. But what a beautiful thing it is. Oh, friends, when our heart is brought in line with Jesus Christ. Scripture speaks of it like this. He says, I will allure her. I'll bring her into the wilderness. Oh, friends, he courts us. He woos us. He attracts us to himself. And he brings us within our souls to receive him. Will you go with this man? Ah, friends, have you known that moment in your life where you've had to go out after Jesus? Oh, friends, there's been a consenting, isn't there? A consenting within your soul. Perhaps expressed like this, do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see. Cast each hated idol down that dares to rival thee. Oh, you see, friends, that's why Scripture speaks of the relationship between Christ and his church so often in the light of marriage. Friends, it is that contract that we are bought into. We are united. It's a contract which is based upon love. Friends, we enter into it by love. As the love of Christ is made known unto us, it's shed abroad within our souls. The love of Christ constrains us. And all, friends, as we receive that Christ, we love him, that love. We love him because he first loved us. we find that love within our soul overwhelms towards Christ. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. All is found in him. Oh, friends, we're found running after him. We're found following him as the spouse in the Song of Solomon. We cannot give him up. When we cannot find him, we must follow hard after him, hungering and thirsting after him. Oh, friends, as we are brought into that union with him, we become flesh of his flesh. They twain shall become one flesh. Oh, this union between Christ and his church, it is upon these two things. It is a union of life. Ah, friends, we are grafted in. You see, that's another illustration of this union of life. The branch grafted in. Oh, friends, it's from him. From the root we receive all the goodness. Ah, friends, it's from the root that the branch receives its life. Severed from the root. Ah, withered and barren shall I lie, says William Gadsby. Ah, friends, we'll be dead. Dead, but united to him. Oh, we have life. And ah, friends, we are united to him by that covenant transaction. Yes, by that covenant transaction in eternity past. But oh, friends, that transaction of love within our souls. Oh, as his voice, as his cause, reach our ears. Oh, as we hear him say, come unto me. And I think as Berridge says, doesn't he, our heart is in our ears. And oh, friends, we run. We run. We cannot stay away. We cannot stay away. Oh, as Horatius Bonar puts it, and I've had to think upon it a lot. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Ah, friends, how will you know when Jesus has spoken to you? You'll know because of the response. Oh, Bonar says, I came to Jesus. Ah, friends, those two things cannot be separated. If you can resist the voice that you hear saying, come, then it's not the voice of Jesus. Ah, friends, it may be the voice of a man. You can resist the voice of man. But, oh, remember Jesus. Oh, he is God. Ah, the weather word of a king is there is power. Ah, thy people are willing people in the day of thy power. When he speaks, ah, friends, there can be no resistance. That's the doctrines of grace, isn't it? Irresistible grace. Irresistible grace. Oh, friends, if you think this evening you can resist grace and you can shut your ears to the voice of Jesus, ah, friends, then you do not know anything of grace and you do not know anything of the power of the voice of Jesus. Oh, when he speaks into your soul and when he says come, ah, friends, you will come. You will come. And your language will then be, my beloved is mine and I am his. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Oh, friends, as we are made bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, we become members of his body, grafted into Christ, never to be separated again. Ah, friends, can the head ever be separated from the body? If it is, it's death, isn't it? And you know, there's a very real sense in which Christ cannot be separated from any of the members of his body. You go to John 17 and you'll find there the intercession of Jesus Christ stands upon two things. Ah, friends, the merits of the prevailing plea of Jesus Christ, it stands upon two great pillars. And what are those two great pillars? On the one hand, we have this, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Ah, friends, had Jesus Christ not finished the work, had he not gone to the end of the law for righteousness, he'd have had no right to appear before the Father. He would have been the unfaithful son. That's the first great pillar. But what is the second great pillar is this. Ah, I have lost none. I have lost none. Ah, friends, every single one of his people are the merits upon which his right prevails before the face of his Father. He says, I and the children that are with me. Ah, friends, that's the cry. That's the cry. We find this in Psalm 25. Ah, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? Oh, friends, what is it that opens the doors? Is this the Lord of Hosts? The Lord of Hosts. Ah, friends, the Lord of Hosts. As he says, I and the children that are with me. Oh, and if he lost one of his sheep, then he would have no right. Ah, no right before the Father. That is the pillar upon which he stands. Ah, friends, if a member of his body could ever be separated from him, the head would fall. The head would fall. But, ah, friends, not a member can be lost. Not a limb can ever be severed or an organ ever be separated. Oh, united to him forever and forever, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Well, friends, this is the nature of the union between the believer and Christ. How is this union brought about? Friends, how is it brought about in the life of the Lord's people? Well, it's brought about in the same order that we read in Genesis 2. As the union was brought about between Adam and Eve, between the woman and the man. Firstly, friends, we are made rib of his rib. And secondly, we are made flesh of his flesh. A dead person cannot enter into contract. Friends, a dead person cannot be married. They cannot say, I will. They cannot say, I will. They cannot say that they will leave all, forsaking all other and cleaving alone unto him. Friends, they're dead. It's an impossibility. They must be living. And therefore, friends, the gift of life comes first. That is the thing that unites us to Christ. The principal factor. Oh, friends, the originating part of this union, this uniting together of the believer with Christ. Friends, it begins with life. As he passes by and he says, live. Friends, he looks upon us and sees us dead. And he imparts his life. Oh, how does he do it? As he sends forth his Spirit to regenerate us into life, to enter in. Oh, to form Christ in us, the hope of glory. Oh, friends, it's the act of God. Just as it was the act of God in Adam. Oh, friends, it's the act of God in us. God gives life. He is the author of life, the author of our salvation, the beginning and the ending. Oh, this union begins as we receive life from the dead. As the Holy Spirit regenerates us and we receive the life of Christ, from that moment we are united to him. We must be united to him, else we would not have life. Friends, the very principle of life is founded upon this union as the grafting of the branch into the root. And so in that act we receive life. Friends, it is the act of God. The second step in this process, oh, the beautiful language that we read there in Genesis. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Oh, you know, friends, God brings us to his own dear son. God brings us to his own dear son. By the drawing of the Holy Spirit, by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that life which is within us as he begins to instruct us. Friends, of our need as he begins to teach us of our state by nature, as he begins to cause us to realise the corruption that dwelleth in us. Oh, as he opens our eyes and brings us unto Christ and reveals unto us. Oh, the fullness that he has prepared for the salvation of sinners in Jesus Christ. Oh, as he reveals unto us the beauties of Christ. Ah, that beautiful face. A real man. And yet as the soul is brought to behold, shining through that face, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And as we behold that face, anointed with the spirit of gladness above all thy fellows. Friends, anointed with the Holy Spirit. Oh, our heart is ravished by his love. Friends, we become lost for words as espoused in the Song of Solomon in answer to that question. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? And she begins to try and describe her beloved, but at last words fail her and she says, he is altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. Friends, Jesus gets and holds our heart, fills our heart, and brought her unto the man. Oh, friends, as the Lord brought you unto Christ, as the Lord brought you unto Jesus, as he unveiled to you the beauties of his face, as the hymn writer says, Oh, why did God reveal to me the beauties of his face? Not the same hymn, because you can look it up. Friends, as he reveals to us the beauties of Jesus' face. Friends, as we see the shining forth, and our soul loves him. Our our soul loves him. And oh, we are found following hard after him because we love him. They twain shall become one flesh. Cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Oh, friends, this is the work of God. Don't think this evening I'm suggesting creature power. Oh, the emphasis is here, and God brought her unto the man. God brought her unto the man. Oh, you know, friends, every step from first to last, it's all of grace. All of grace. The work of God. Oh, the work of grace in the soul, it's a divine work from beginning to end, and this no less. Ah, friends, it's God that brings us. God that draws us. God that reveals unto us by his Spirit the beauties of Jesus Christ. Ah, friends, it's God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so we are brought into union with Christ. Ah, friends, as we say, we will go with this man. We will go with this man. Oh, as we find our love flows out unto him, and oh, we have to confess we love him. We love him. You may say to me this evening, well, I don't feel I love him. Oh, I would just tarry there, something which tries the Lord's people. Oh, you know, friends, we desire ever to love him more, don't we? You know, if the Lord's people were satisfied with the love they felt to Jesus Christ here, then they're probably deceived. Oh, because, friends, the lovableness of Jesus Christ, if I can put it that way, oh, it's beyond our comprehension. Oh, friends, he is infinite in every measure. And the infinity of that love. Oh, the Apostle Paul desired for the Ephesian church in prayer that they might know the depth and the height and the breadth and the length of the love of God. But, oh, Paul, as it were, is then brought back to realise, oh, but they're still in the flesh. Beyond knowledge, beyond our comprehension. Our friends, we'll have to get to glory. We'll have to get to glory to know the fullness of his love. And only then, and only then, oh, when we are no longer constrained with the finiteness and with all the cursedness of the fall that still clings to us. Our friends, then, oh, only then will we begin to love him as we ought. But while on this earth, the Lord's people always feel they do not love him as they would. Oh, I do believe the Lord's people know something of real love to him. That their mourning will always be their love is cold and faint. Oh, for grace. Oh, for grace to love thee more. Oh, friends, can you come in there this evening? Do you desire to love Jesus? Do you desire to love Jesus? Do you have to come in with Gadsby? Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore. Live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice and all his righteous will esteem. Oh, it's only as we are united to him, made alive. Only as we are made rib of his rib, bone of his bone. Oh, that we are brought also to be partakers of his flesh, partakers of the divine nature, to find that union of love. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Now, friends, I want to be clear about two things. That is the order in doctrine. And we must establish that well. Ah, friends, it is the order that we find here for the natural pattern. It's the order of the spiritual pattern. Life first, and then the union of covenant. Rib first, bone first, and then the union of flesh. Then the marriage union. Oh, friends, we must not muddle that order up. You know, there are far too many in the professing world today, in the ministry of the word, they muddle these things up. Oh, they would preach Christ to you and tell you, will you not receive him? If only you'll receive him tonight, then you could be saved. No, friends, they're muddling the order up. They're trying to get you to seek this flesh of his flesh before you're made rib of his rib and bone of his bone. Ah, friends, they're exhorting dead souls into marriage contract, and such thing is ludicrous, and such thing goes against the word of God and goes against all rational thought. But that is what the preaching of free will ministers proclaims. They get the order the wrong way round. Oh, they do not stick to the order of the word of God. And they tell you that if only you will receive Jesus, then you'll have everlasting life. Our friends, rather than preaching that the life comes from him, and it's only as we receive that life from him that we'll ever find that union, that love, that desire after Jesus Christ. Oh, that you might be careful that the ministry preached here ever sticks to the order of the word of God and doesn't muddle up the order. And now sermons are so much more widely available. Oh, friends, if you go off listening to sermons preached in any other churches, weigh them by this order. Weigh them by this order. Friends, weigh any exhortation that's given. Are they putting these two stages of union, these two states of union, the wrong way round? Friends, are they exhorting one to be married when they are dead? Or are they speaking to the living and setting before them the glories of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ? Oh, friends, how vital you see the order is. It's the order of the word of God. It's the order of the doctrine, and that is what the preaching must rest upon. But the second thing we must be clear about is this. In experience, the order is the other way round. In experience, the order is the other way round. Paul puts the order the other way round in our text this evening, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Oh, friends, what do I mean? Oh, how do we know we pass from death unto life? John tells us because we love the brethren. Oh, friends, that is because we are united to the members of his body. We've been made one with Christ and his church. That love then flows to every part. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, friends, in experience, when is it that you feel you've got union with Christ? It's as you're brought to love him. As you're brought to love him. Perhaps there's one here this evening that says, I want to know, does Jesus love me? Friends, what is the evidence that Jesus loves you? I'll tell you what the evidence is, you'll love him. If you wanted to know whether Jesus loves you and you find no love in your soul to him this evening, then I must tell you that the word of God proclaims that as far as things are in the balance this evening, I cannot say that Jesus loves you. But oh, as soon as you find any love within your soul unto the Lord Jesus, as soon as you find a desire that goes out to him that cannot be satisfied without him. Friends, as soon as you have to seek after him with your whole heart, you have to leave other things to one side because of something more important, something more desirable, something you love more, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, you know, friends, that's the most blessed evidence that Jesus Christ has loved you in eternity past. Loved you when he was praying for his people there alone upon the mountaintops in Judea, loved you. Oh, when he was upon the cross, and that he loves you even now. Enthroned in glory above, ever living to make intercession for us, your great high priest. Oh, you see, friends, I fear too often in our churches, we want to put the order the other way round in experience. We'll say, I'll only believe if I know that I'm elected. I can only love if I know that Jesus loves me. But oh, no, friends, that's not how the Lord works with his people. He reveals that as we are brought to love him. Friends, it is revealed by the evidence of life within us. The quickened we run in the way of his commandments, he enlarges our hearts. Oh, friends, that's another evidence this evening. Are you seeking to walk in the Lord's ways? Are you following after Jesus? I think if I remember rightly, I preached here in the past from those words, my sheep hear my voice, they know me, and they follow me. Oh, I will run in the way of his commandments, he doth enlarge my heart. Oh, friends, if you've got any love in your soul towards Jesus Christ this evening, if he's loved you and his love has been shed abroad within your soul, you'll be running in the way of his commandments. Friends, that is running away from the world. Running away from the things of this world. Running with his people. Desiring to be found amongst his people. As members of this glorious body, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Oh, friends, we only are brought to realise that we have life as we receive that love shed abroad within our souls. And is that answer brought forth in our soul? Yes, we will go with this man. We will go with this man. Oh, friends, that's the reason, that's the moment when a soul is brought to realise they've got life that they did not have before. until we are brought there, our friends, all we'll feel is death. Even with that life within us, our friends, when that life is first given, that light that we read of, that casts out darkness, that reveals that darkness, our friends, when that life is first given unto us, all we see is our blackness, our deadness. We begin to feel dead in a way that we've never felt before. Oh, friends, what is it that brings life into a soul? Oh, as the love of Christ is shed abroad within your soul. And then, then you begin to realise, oh, the life that I now live, oh, it's the life of Jesus Christ. We pass from death unto life. Oh, we're not what we once were. Once afar off, once dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, but now made nigh by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, make sure this evening we rightly use the order. We must not confuse doctrine and experience. For doctrine, we must come alone to the Word of God. I find too often in our circles we build doctrine upon our experience. We say, this is the truth because this is what I have felt. No, friends. When it comes to doctrine, we've only got one source, and that is the Word of God. What does the Word of God say on the matter? And the Word of God sets before us quite plainly the order. We receive life before we are brought feelingly and sensibly into that marriage covenant with our Redeemer. But in experience, and perhaps I should not make sweeping statements, but I would say, generally it is the other way round. Oh, friends, we are brought to feel that love, brought to feel that desire after Christ, and that is the evidence that we've received life. That is the evidence we pass from death unto life. Oh, that we've been made partakers of the divine nature, that we have entered into that union, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Oh, don't confuse the two. Don't confuse the doctrine and the experience. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Well, the third thing, friends, we wanted to come to was this. The privileges and the duty that flow from this union. The privileges and the duty. Well, friends, what privilege? What privilege Paul sets before us here, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Friends, what a description of what Christ does for his bride. Oh, friends, he loves us self-sacrificially. He gave himself for us. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Oh, may we never have small views of the love of our bridegroom. May we never have small views of the love of Christ. Oh, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Friends, he was God, and yet he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. Oh, he became obedient unto death, even the cursed death of the cross. Friends, the lowest place he could come. The wrath of God poured out upon him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, friends, remember, yes, it was a man that spake those words, a real man. But, oh, it was the creator of the heavens and the earth, the eternally begotten Son of the everlasting Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, friends, that's how low he must come. That's the depth of this love. Oh, that's the greatness of this love. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Friends, love so great, so rich, so free. On such love my soul still ponder, love so great, so rich, so free. Say whilst lost in holy wonder, why, O Lord, such love to me? Alleluia, grace shall reign eternally. You know, friends, most of the problems of Christian discipleship go back to here. Friends, we lose sight of this love, the greatness of it, the freeness of it, the fullness of it. Ah, friends, we begin to think mean thoughts of this love. We begin to diminish it and think it's a little less. And consequently, we think that in tomorrow's trial, that love may not extend unto it. Oh, we begin to think that in all our sinnership, the fact that we seem to get only worse rather than better, this love is going to run out. But no, Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Ah, friends, it's everlasting love. It's immutable love. It's love which cannot let us go. Oh, what a privilege to be loved, to be loved by God. Ah, friends, what a privilege when we're brought to realise how unlovable we are. How unlovable we are. Oh, as John Kent so beautifully sums it up in that 10th hymn, laughed when a wretch, defiled with sin, at war with heaven, in league with hell, a slave to every lust obscene, who living lived but to rebel. Oh, love, how high thy glory swells, how great, immutable and free. 10,000 sins as black as hell are swallowed up, O love in thee. Believer, here thy comfort stands. From first to last, salvation's free, and everlasting love demands an everlasting song from thee. Oh, friends, he loves his people. He loves his people and he ever will love them. What a privilege that is. Highly we're called. Highly we're bought, dearly esteemed. Oh, friends, that we might remember that. Ye are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Upon what basis? Oh, the love of Christ. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Oh, friends, he is sanctifying and cleansing us with the washing of water by the word. Oh, friends, he's given unto us the Holy Spirit to lead us in the truth. He's given us his truth, the word. And the faithful preaching of that word to this end, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. Ah, friends, he's preparing us for that marriage day. He's preparing us for that day. Oh, and we shall be found in heaven with him, united to him in that the fullness of that union. Not, friends, that the union that we participate in here is secondary or one whit less than the union that the Lord's people know there in heaven. But we enter into the full realisation and we enter into the full enjoyment of that union. And he's preparing us for it. The work is his. Our friends, from beginning to end, is his work, that he might sanctify it. Oh, the work is his, from beginning to end. The point that I've already tried to make, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ah, friends, at last he is to receive his bride unto himself. Give him a place, give us a place on his throne. Ah, friends, not next to his throne. You know, the Queen of England sits on a throne next to the King. But oh, we read in Revelation that the bride of Christ, they sit with him in his throne. Ah, friends, that union, you see, so complete. That union so complete. Oh, fleshly union in one sense cannot enter into the fullness of it. Well, perhaps I should have already brought this out, but the words that precede our text, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Why, friends? Because they're one flesh. They're one flesh. Oh, modern society undermines this truth. Oh, but in marriage we become one flesh, and perhaps you know something of it. Perhaps you see something of it sometimes. Between husband and wife, they are more concerned about the other than they are about themselves. Ah, friends, why? Because they're one. They're one. Oh, the concern of Christ over his church, the love of Christ over his church. Ah, friends, he's keeping us, and he's bringing us to himself. Oh, we may say that is the privilege. Ah, friends, what about the duty? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Oh, friends, can I ask you this evening, are you an obedient member of the church? Oh, is Jesus Christ your living head? Oh, friends, do you know something of this submission to him? You know, this is another evidence of grace, isn't it? Find it in the Apostle Paul there upon the Damascus Road. As soon as Jesus appeared unto him. Oh, as soon as he said he was Jesus. What do we find the response in Paul's heart? Lord, what will thou have me to do? What will they have me to do? Oh, it's no longer my will, it's thy will. Oh, you see, Jesus had got Paul's heart. Jesus had got Paul's heart. Ah, friends, there was submission in the heart of Paul. What submission do you know this evening to the will of Jesus Christ? Ah, friends, is it still your will? Or has Jesus got your heart this evening? And is it thy will? Lord, what's thy will? What will thou have me to do? What will thou have me to do? Oh, you see, this is the pathway that Paul maps out here for the wives of earthly husbands. How much more so? The spouse, the bride of Christ. Ah, friends, what is the state of our soul this evening? I'm sure of this. Oh, when the love of Christ is really shed abroad within our souls, when Jesus is precious. Oh, we do know something of this. Yes, ah, when he withdraws his lovely face. Ah, friends, when he seems to be absent, when he seems to be away from on a journey and seems to be silent to us. Ah, friends, solemnly old nature rises up. Trouble, as it were, enters in. Oh, but when he returns, when he unveils his lovely face again. Ah, friends, our will falls into the background and it becomes his will, his will. Can I just bring in another point here? You know, I had those words on my spirit for several weeks, some time ago in the summer, in the second chapter of the prophecy of Hosea. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. I'll give her a vineyard from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi and shalt call me no more Bali. You'll find the margin tells us thou shalt call me my husband and shalt call me no more my Lord. The Apostle Paul said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Oh, you know, friends, I believe Paul had got to be brought experimentally further into the love of Christ. He had to be brought further experimentally into the fullness of this union. Are you this evening still calling Jesus Lord? Or has the love of Christ been shed abroad in your soul into such a measure? Have you been brought into that union experimentally? That your language is no longer my Lord, but it's my husband. My husband. Oh, can you say with the hymn, Jesus, lover of my soul? Ah, friends, do you feel it? Is there still that separation? Is there still, as it were, that that which separates you? Ah, friends, you feel down here and therefore the language is my Lord. Or has the love of Jesus drawn you to him? Oh, have you got a place on his breast as the beloved disciple had? Ah, friends, can you say my husband? Can you say my husband? Oh, that's what he gives to us, you see. And this is a difference. We find in our day and generation so many young women concerned about submitting to their husband. They don't like the language. Oh, but you speak to those who are lovingly married to a loving husband. Oh, friends, what do you find? That issue seems to have evaporated. It seems to have gone away. Why? Because they discover the language of marriage is no longer my Lord. But the language of marriage is my husband. Ah, friends, it's the language of love rather than the language of service, rather than the language of mastery. The Lord leads his people into this. Ah, friends, as it is in natural marriage, it may not happen overnight, but it happens. Oh, as there is that growing together and that uniting together and that making one in experience. And so it is in the life of the Lord's people. Oh, friends, can I ask you this evening? Is this the language of your soul yet? My husband. My husband. Or is it still my Lord? Oh, the Lord has shed abroad his love within your soul to such a degree that he would get your heart this evening and bring you to say, my husband. My husband. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Oh, friends, we are called to submission. We are called to service. That's what submission is, isn't it? Ah, the wife serves the husband serves the wife. Oh, the service that Christ has done for his people, the service that he calls his people to. Ah, friends, when the love of Christ gets your heart, is anything too hard for you to do? Or of yourself, you still have to say, I can do nothing, but through Christ all things. Friend, it's only the love of Christ, isn't it, that called for some of those missionaries to give up home and family and to go out into those foreign nations, not being able to speak the language. Friends, with the fear of death, with the knowledge they may never see their homeland and their loved ones again. Friends, what was it that took them there? It was the love of Christ. The love of Christ. Oh, friends, it's the love of Christ that leads us out to service. And it's the love of Christ that makes us willing to go. And willing to labour and be spent. Oh, have you known the love of Christ shed abroad in your soul to that end? Ah, the love of Christ, you see, makes all objections flow down. You're no longer ashamed of Jesus. And when are you no longer ashamed of Jesus? The love of Christ is shed abroad within your soul. Ah, friends, the mountains are all taken away. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And we run in the way of his commandments. Oh, friends, it's a duty of faithfulness. That's the language of the marriage service, isn't it? I think I've already quoted it. Forsaking all other and cleaving alone unto him. Oh, friends, this is what we expect in a faithful marriage. The forsaking everyone else. The looking alone unto our husband. Ah, friends, it's the duty, if I may put it that way, the responsibility is incumbent upon us if we are united to Christ. Oh, we have to prove we've got no power, an adulterous heart. Oh, just like the Old Testament church had many lovers. Oh, what a mercy our husband says that he hates to put away. No divorce. No divorce. No separation. Ah, oh, nor things present nor things to come. Oh, all those things that Paul enumerates can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Ah, friends, where would we be if that were not a truth this evening? Because often we feel our sinful heart prone. Prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. Friends, what a mercy it is he keeps us. But oh, that we might watch over our heart in these things, that we might mourn over the wanderings of our heart, that we might desire, oh, that he would give us grace, that he would keep us faithful and keep us resting alone upon him. And oh, friends, is there not also a duty of love, if I can put it that way? A duty of love. Oh, friends, love calls for love, doesn't it? Love calls for love. Oh, friends, what is it that makes you feel the poverty of your love this evening, but the greatness of the love of Jesus unto you? Oh, does that make you desire that he'll give you more love, that he'll enable you to love him more? Oh, friends, considering his great love toward us, can we be half-hearted in our love towards him? Can we be satisfied with our lack of love? Can we be satisfied with the poorness of our love? Oh, but it's to him we must look for more love. And the only thing that will make us love him more is more of his love is shed abroad in our souls. As we are brought to realise more and more our need of him and our absolute dependence upon him. And who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? It's the church, the spouse of Christ, those who are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And that's the way the Lord's people are brought home to glory. Our friends, leaning upon their beloved, confessing that he is their all. Oh, is he your all this evening? Is he your all this evening? Oh, friends, can I put the question to you? Will you go with this man? Will you go with this man? Will you have this man to reign over you? Oh, to see the gospel in this light. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, friends, do you say this evening, a yoke, a yoke? Oh, you know, when we read the parable of the prodigal son, I believe, oh, we could put another word there, couldn't we? Oh, he puts a ring upon our finger. He puts a ring upon our finger. That's the yoke, if I may put it this way, of covenant love between a husband and wife. The ring upon the finger. The token of love. Ah, friends, a token of love that will not fail. And he puts a ring upon the people of his, the finger of his people. Come unto me. Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. Ah, friends, it's his language to us. Take my yoke upon you. Will you go with this man? Will you go with this man? Ah, friends, is Jesus precious? Is he the one that you desire this evening? Oh, is there that room that he has prepared in your heart for himself? But we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gerald Buss is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Graham Cottingham at our Thanksgiving services a week on Saturday. Let us close with hymn 1078. 1078. Dear Lord, and shall thy spirit rest in such a wretched heart as mine, unworthy dwelling, glorious guest, favour astonishing, divine. Hymn 1078.
Lord, forgive all that's been amiss in the worship of thy house this evening. What is according, Lord, to thy truth, may it remain with us. May it feed our souls, Lord. May we know more of that union with thee. Our union of love, union of life. Oh, we plead, Lord, if there are any this evening, seeking after the love of Christ, that thou wouldst, O Lord, manifest thyself unto them. Take us to our homes, Lord, in peace and safety. Watch over us through the night, grant rest and sleep and strength for tomorrow. Throughout the remainder, Lord, of our short and uncertain lives, be with us, and give grace sufficient, and prepare us for the end. And may we prove, Lord, at that end, it is no longer death to die, but that thou wilt come and receive us unto thyself, that where thou art, there may we also be. Forgive us all our sins, we'd ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore.